When you really love Jesus, you're compelled to serve him throughout your life, all the way to your death. Will you die serving yourself, or will you die serving the Lord?
This is Opening the Bible with Dr. Nick Gatzke, Senior Pastor of Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio. I'm your host, Brian Dolan. Today we get to the second and final part of a message called The Crucial Question of Your Love, and we'll even wrap up the book of John as we've been studying. Now, Pastor, John really kind of hits it on the nose here for those who aren't clear about why he wrote his gospel, right?
There are few books in the Bible with such a clear purpose statement, but the Gospel of John is one of them. And it says at the end of chapter 20 in verse 31, that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And friends, I just want to appeal to you right now as you hear the end of this series, and maybe as you go back and listen to some of the previous messages, that your belief in Jesus is why God is revealing this to you in the Gospel of John. You can have life, a new life in him, because he forgives you, because he is the glorious Son of God, because he has sacrificed himself for your sins. And your belief in him and subsequent following of him, as we see in our message for today, produces a love that will change you right now and change you for all of eternity.
Well, join us now as we wrap up Pastor Nick's teaching on the book of John. Here's Pastor Nick.
Even though the first and big test didn't go so well, Jesus is giving Peter another chance. He's giving a chance. He's boosting him up. He's allowing him to affirm three times what he had previously denied three times, because he knew in this man that the failure and the shame was real, but that the faith was genuine. And that begs the question, as you think about your relationship with Jesus, as you think about how you might describe it, Jesus asks you the same question. Do you love me? Not simply, do you appreciate me? Are you thankful for me? Do you respect me? But do you love me? This is the most important question for Christians, because it leads to the most important thing. Your love for Jesus. Now hear me right now, because this is so convoluted in our time today. Your love for Jesus is to be the predominant love in your life. More than you love food, more than you love your recreation or your comfort, more than you love vacation, more than you love your job, and even more than you love your family. Your love for the Lord Jesus is to be the predominant love of your life. This happens as you experience him, as you receive the forgiveness that he offers you, as you are washed clean from guilt and shame of your sin, as you're given new life and life to the full, as he says, and as you're set on a purpose and a mission. You grow in love for him. As your faith grows, your love grows. These things coincide with each other. They're interconnected. They're inextricably linked. In fact, love for Jesus is the most important thing, just as love for God has been taught to the Israelites from the very beginning that this is the most important thing. You might remember in the Old Testament the command of God to his people. It's called the Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." You fast forward hundreds of years. Jesus is standing, the incarnate Son of God who has come to earth because of his love for us, is now standing amongst a people who would reject him. And they ask him the question, "What is the greatest command in the law?" And Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Loving the Lord is the most important thing. Do you love him? Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times he proclaims his love for Jesus. And three times Jesus gives him a commission. It's interesting when you look at the text, the third time Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" You can just sense that Peter is starting to get the point. And even though he's stung by the questions and he's growing in frustration, there is an ever sense of confidence in his proclamation of love. And he can only at this point appeal to Jesus' divine attributes. He says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that I love you even though I denied you. You know that I love you even though I'm isolated because of my shame and my embarrassment. Lord, you know that I love you even though my actions don't always communicate that I love you." And Jesus responds again. The first response to Peter's profession of love is, "Feed my lambs." Second response, "Tend my sheep." And the third response, "Feed my sheep." Jesus believes Peter. And Jesus restores Peter. He is forgiven of his worst sin. He's forgiven of his greatest embarrassment. He's forgiven of the sin that makes his stomach turn and his chest tight. He's forgiven of the sin that he's been waking up at every single night as the rooster crows, with sweat on his brow and the weight of guilt on his shoulder. The self-isolation that he's experiencing because of his shame need not continue. The path and the course of his life and his direction is now highlighted, and Jesus gives him an incredibly high calling. Let me pause for a minute here and make two observations. Observation number one is that for whatever potential Peter had in serving God, this was contingent upon his forgiveness. This is really important to recognize in your own life. Whatever potential you have in serving the Lord, it's contingent upon God forgiving you of your sin. There are so many people that want to serve Jesus, at least they profess that they do, and yet they don't want to engage in the hard conversation and the often painful step of repentance and contrition that leads to forgiveness and change. Brian was a business owner and a musician in his church. He was a public figure and he had great gifts. But he also struggled deeply with pride. And in his pride, he would gossip and he would slander and he would fight and he would rebel against authority that is over him. And often he would sin against other members in his church family. And the damage was getting to a point where the pastor of the church needed to address this with Brian. And so he brought his concern gently but clearly. And instead of engaging the Lord and repenting and receiving the forgiveness that God offers and changing course, he left in anger. He stormed off in pride. He went down the road to the next church. He skipped the very basic step of repentance, and as a result, he didn't experience change. Well, you know what happened. This is an old story. This happens a lot of times to a lot of people. The same thing happened at the next church. Great gifts, gregarious personality, and 2 years later, he was gone, storming off in his pride and skipping the basic step of accepting forgiveness from the Lord, who can only and alone forgive these types of sins. You want to serve the Lord with your life? Good. You should. It's the best possible life you can have. Serving Jesus with your days. Some of you feel so guilty like Peter that you have a hard time forgiving yourself of that egregious sin that you've committed, and you can't even imagine that Jesus would forgive you. And the good news of this passage And the good news of the gospel is if he is going to forgive a Jesus denier, then he's going to forgive you. All you need to do is have that spiritual conversation across the charcoal fire in which you repent. And his grace and restoration is abundant to you. Others of you perhaps need to feel more guilty than you do. That you might be like Brian and want to skip the most basic step of repentance and contrition that leads to forgiveness and change. And without that, you'll never be effective, even if you desire to serve the Lord with your days. Your potential for serving him is contingent upon forgiveness. The second observation about this interaction is that the commissioning of Peter to feed the lambs and tend the sheep and feed the sheep, that's a commissioning that is representative of the whole work of ministry to Christians. And it's a privileged place. This is so cool. Just think about this for a minute with me. God himself is called the shepherd of his people again and again and again throughout the Old Testament. God's son, Jesus, comes and he is referred to as the good shepherd. And now, upon restoring the denier, upon restoring the sinner, Jesus gives this great charge to Peter, and he gives it not just to Apostle Peter who will plant churches, not just to Pastor Peter who will pastor churches. He gives it to basic sinner who turns Christian Peter, who will engage with all kinds of Christians throughout his days, and therefore he gives it to you. He says, I am the shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd, and now you are shepherds. And that's an amazing, amazing call for your life. Lambs, little children, and sheep, men and women, who Jesus loves so much that he died for them. Each one who needs care and nourishment by the word of God and concern for their growth and maturity in Jesus. And he entrusts those sheep to each other in that regard, as you shepherd each other in the Lord. This is the highest calling in life. It's the highest calling you can possibly have, to look out for and to care for the very ones that are blood bought by the Savior. That's amazing. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to serve God with your life. Tend the sheep. You don't know what to do. You say, God, I'm waiting for a message to be written in the clouds. What should I do? Feed the lambs. This is the greatest calling of your day. Even though we make mistakes and sin, even though Peter made the most egregious mistake and denied Jesus, and even though you have committed that sin that you were thinking about just moments ago that makes your stomach turn and your chest tight and the feeling of guilt weigh down upon your shoulders, Jesus forgives you when you repent, and he gives you the charge. He gives this charge to all of those who love him. Be fishers of men and be shepherds of sheep. I wonder if you might think about the people in your life who were shepherds for you. Many of you grew up watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, as I had. Fred Rogers was the creator of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, a television show that ran from 1968 all the way to the year 2000, 895 episodes. And in 1997, Mr. Rogers won the Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award. And here's just a short excerpt from Fred Rogers' speech. He stood up and he said, "So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here, some are far away, and some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you take along with me just 10 seconds to think of some of the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who cared about you and for you, wanted the best for your life. 10 seconds of silence and I'll watch the time." And as the camera panned through the room, you saw celebrity after celebrity after celebrity with tears welling up in their eyes as they thought about the ones who had invested in them. There's power in remembering. And there's power in looking at the example of others. Friends, likewise, all of us who know the Lord Jesus have special ones in our life who loved us into being children of God. Some are here. Some are far away. And some are in heaven, around the throne, worshiping the Lord and the King. I wonder if you might take just 10 seconds with me to think about those who loved you into being a child of God. Just 10 seconds. I'll keep track of the time. Everyone has spiritual parents or spiritual older brothers and sisters. And those people did so in your life because they loved Jesus so much that they took seriously the charge that he gives to all of those who love them. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my flock. And the call of Peter is the call to you. Do you love Jesus like that? If so, are you willing to be that for someone else? Will you be a spiritual parent or a spiritual older brother or sister that raises up spiritual children to follow Jesus and to invite others to follow him as well? Because when you start to put all of the beautiful themes of this passage together, the idea of shame and forgiveness and restoration and love and commissioning, you begin to see something like the love for Jesus compels us to serve him throughout our lives and even to our deaths. When you really love Jesus, you're compelled to serve him throughout your life all the way to your death. Jesus forgave Peter. He restored Peter. He directed Peter. And now, at the close of the passage, he gives a stark reminder to him and to you and to me. He says, follow me, even to death. Look at verse 18 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This, he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Jesus speaks in the form of a proverb to Peter. Proverbs, pretty obvious. When you're young, you have freedom to go where you want to go. When you're old, other people are going to lead you to where you don't want to go. And in this case, your hands will be stretched out, which is a colloquialism in the ancient world to say, you will be crucified. The Lord prophesies about how Peter is going to die. He dictates, Jesus does, when we live. Dictates where we live. He even dictates when and how we're going to die. And in Peter's case, the immense public shame of his denial would be overshadowed by a glorious death, but he didn't know when. In fact, Peter lived for 30 more years knowing that someday he would be crucified, but never knowing which year it would be. Now, some of you might say, I don't know if I could live with the pressure of that. That fear might override me. Maybe it did for Peter, but I think it was just the opposite that happened. Peter knew that He would be crucified someday in service of the Lord, and that motivated him to spend every lasting breath that he had until the day when he would be crucified upside down by Nero for the entire Roman Empire to see. And he was motivated by the fact that Jesus, the resurrected Lord himself, would be there to meet him on that very day. John says that his death was to glorify God, verse 19. And that begs the question, how will your death glorify God? You ever think about that? Are you ready for that? Sure, you don't know when you'll die. Nobody's prophesied about how you'll die. But you can have an idea about the general manner in which you will die. Will you die serving yourself, or will you die serving the Lord? That's an important question to ask because the culture of our time says you reach a certain age in life and then you spend the rest of your life serving yourself. You serve your comforts, you serve your entertainment, you serve all of the things that you might desire. You've worked hard, you've saved in your 401k, you've earned it. But the question for the Christian is, will you die serving yourself or will you die serving the Lord? And for some of us, maybe it's time to stop living for your comfort or for your pursuit of entertainment. Because Jesus says, whoever loves his life will lose it, doesn't he? And now he says, whoever loves me will tend my sheep. The Lord directs the days of the disciples' death, but will your days between this day and that glorify him in your life in such a way that he will be glorified in your death? Another way to put it is this. Jesus asked the question, do you love me? Love for Jesus compels us to serve him through our lives and even all the way to our death. In his book, Written in Blood, Robert Coleman tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. She had a rare blood type, which she shared with her little brother. And the fact that he had recovered from the same disease 2 years earlier made the chances of success even greater. And so the doctor carefully explained all of this to the little boy, pointing out that without the transfusion, his sister would die. Would you be brave and give blood to your sister? The doctor asked Johnny, and Johnny hesitated. His bottom lip started to tremor, and he gained his composure, and he smiled, and he said, sure, for my sister, for my sister. And the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary, pale and thin, and Johnny, robust and healthy. And he smiled at his sister, and he watched as the blood traveled out of his body down that clear plastic tube. And his smile began to fade. And as he lay there feeling a little weak, he looked up at the doctor and said, doctor, when do I die? Johnny thought that he was giving all of his blood to his sister. And that meant that he was giving up his life for hers. And yet, because of his great love for her, he was willing to do that. I wonder if we might be willing to be the type of disciples to expend our very last breath from our lungs, or the very last drop of blood from our veins out of love for Jesus and willingness to sacrifice the days of our lives for his good sheep. Oh, to be a disciple like that. Jesus says, feed my lambs. He says, tend my sheep. He says, feed my sheep. Even to your death.
Well, that does it for a message from Pastor Nick Gatzke called The Crucial Question of Your Love. And it also wraps up our series on the book of John. As Pastor mentioned, we deeply care about you and your relationship with Jesus. Has this teaching series brought you closer to Him, or maybe even introduced you to our Savior for the very first time? Come and tell us about it. Go to openingthebible.org. There you can find ways to connect. We'd love to hear from you about what the Lord is doing in your life and how we can pray for you. You can also find ways to bless us there if you would be so inclined, as we need partners in this ministry of a financial sort. Again, go to openingthebible.org. That's openingthebible.org. Opening the Bible is a teaching ministry of and is sponsored by Old North Church of Canfield, Ohio.